This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hour number two here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Cranking out 50,000 watts across Kansas City and the Midwest. Also have the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios. You can follow us on Twitter if you like. My Twitter handle is at Brad K. Porter. That's at Brad K. Porter. No unusual spellings there. If you want to follow Jed, it's at JedRow24. Got some good stuff still to come on the show. Coming up at 10:25, Ali Trost from the Blue Testament will join us, and we'll talk Sporting KC. The hottest month of August. 4-0. Four wins, outs, and now 1 point out of first place in the Western Conference of MLS. And a huge showdown coming up next weekend in the Pacific Northwest against the Seattle Sounders, who are the one team that's hotter than Sporting KC right now. So Ali Trost at 10:25. In hour number three, beginning at 11 o'clock, Barton Simmons from CBSSports.com writes a lot about college football, will join us. Finally getting college football next weekend. We had high school football this weekend, and college football next weekend, and then the NFL sometime after that. It seems like the NFL can't get here soon enough, because I agree with Frank Bull. He tweeted out last night, I despise the preseason. I do too. I mean, I watch it because I need to know things, but I hate it. It's an exercise in futility. The games usually stink in the third and fourth quarters. You got 90 guys for 53 spots. If you cover one team like we do, who cover the Chiefs, you're spending time watching 37 guys who are not going to be on the roster. And the guys who are going to be cut, it should not be a surprise.
Wow, Brad.
It shouldn't.
You want to lob some names out there? Maybe do the guys a favor?
I'll call up the roster and I can run off 10 or 20 of them for you who aren't going to be here. Right out of Office Space. Who's this guy? Not gonna be on this final 53. And look, when you watch Hard Knocks, they try to play it up like, this is the hardest thing I have to do. I got to call this guy in and I got to get his playbook. And I was rooting for you. We thought you played well, but you're not fitting in. If you need any help, just call me. They don't mean that.
We had Matt Verderame on that week we were in for Cody, and he was talking about how he talked with, I think he said, a coach within even the Chiefs organization. I know that he said he's talked within coaches within other organizations that have said, yeah, we know that guys who, the day that they come in and that they're signed, yeah, they're going to be cut. It's not hard decisions.
No.
The guys either come in out of shape or do different things, and you're just like, man, not going to happen, buddy.
No. And I remember, because every year, the media, myself included, will ask the question, were the cuts tough? Was that a tough day for you, Coach? Was that a tough day for you, Brett Veach? No, it is not a tough day. I remember Gunther Cunningham told me years ago, no, it's not tough, because you need to get down to the guys who are going to be there, the guys who are going to play, the guys who are going to make a difference, the guys who are going to be on this football team, and these 37 other guys are taking up space. We're paying them, we're feeding them, we're outfitting them with equipment, and we need to move on. It's time to go. And it shouldn't be a surprise for most of those guys. I mean, wide receiver is going to be tough at the bottom. Inside linebacker is going to be maybe a little bit tough. But for most of the 37 guys who are going to be cut, it shouldn't be a surprise. Anyway, sticking with the Kansas City Chiefs, not a good performance against the Bears, and the starters are done for the exhibition season. You will not see them in the Week 4 game against the Green Bay Packers. By the way, 810 is giving away tickets all week this week, so tune in during the shows during the week and get tickets to that Packers game. But the starters are pretty much done. We've seen all we're going to see until the opening kickoff of the regular season. Andy Reid, after the game, as he always does, spoke with the media, updates on injuries. Thankfully, there weren't any. Talked about the game against the Chicago Bears.
As far as the injuries go, we came out pretty clean. So it worked out well that way. I thought Matt did a nice job with his football team today on both sides of the ball. He's got a great future here. So the city of Chicago is lucky to have him. And we've got some work to do. It was great to get some of these guys back out playing, which I thought was a positive. Our inside linebackers had a chance to get out and knock the rust off. You could see they got a little better as time went on. Early, we weren't, communication wasn't great. And we can learn from this. We can learn from it offensively. You're in the red zone. You got to put points on the board. You can't have penalties. We had way too many penalties, special teams, offense and defense, and then tackling and our blocking. We got to make sure we work on that. But, again, that's what the preseason's for. So, time's yours.
Andy, understanding that it's still the preseason, what's your level of concern about where your defense is right now, the ones?
Yeah, well, I think the main thing is that they get in and practice together. You know, we're starting to get guys back, which I think is important. So much of defense is communication and working together, passing things off. We're very vanilla right now. And by plan, that's what we are. So you got to but there's communication when you're doing that. You got to make sure that you're on the same page, and so everything transmits through your inside backers. Having those guys back out there might have been the best thing that happened today. So just to have that opportunity for those guys to work.
Well, that surprised me that Matt did not play his starters in this game.
Well, he gave me a heads up when I was getting on the plane yesterday, so I had an idea. Probably smart on his part. I knew we'd get a good, healthy dose of Chase. He's a pretty good football player. We know firsthand, has a pretty good idea of, you know, how to run the offense, and does it efficiently and very well. So, but I didn't really care about that. I just wanted to make sure we came out and had more reps, you know, and get a chance to play together. We had some positions that you gotta get in. It's just a matter of playing. You gotta get in and do that.
How unorthodox is that? And you've been around a long time, and this is a fairly unusual move.
Yeah, but he knows his team. You know, he has a good feel for that. So he knows that this is our fourth preseason game, and I know they didn't play much in the first one, but still, they've been practicing for quite a while here. So it's, you know, you had that extra week on it, and it can make for a long preseason. But and then he had some injuries last week. So, you know, we, knock on wood, we've been fortunate not to have that here. So we're able to get in and get our work done and get out.
You obviously value, you know, you said inside linebackers coming back in today. How do you value the work of a preseason game versus the risk of injuries? How do you measure that up, balance that out?
Yeah, listen, I'm not sure exactly how. I think that's one of the questions that everybody has. I mean, I know from probably the commissioner on down, everybody wants to know how that goes. I use it as a time to sharpen up and to get more reps, especially for a young quarterback. Those are the guys that probably are affected by it the most if you don't have the preseason. So every rep that Patrick gets is a positive rep. So he was able to come out with 112 quarterback rating today, had some great plays, and had a chance to make a few others, you know, if we do a couple things right. So, you know, that's and he got better than he was the week before. So those are all positive things and from our standpoint.
What do you see today from our secondary? Just, and I know you're throwing skin for game.
Yeah, he got caught on a double move. That's going to happen. And he's just kind of getting used to what we're all about. And he's a veteran player. He'll be all right. The one positive is he was challenging during the day. So we got to do that. We got to do better with that. And on the back end, just get up and challenge. That's the primary thing.
You get the linebackers today, but the way the secondary is sort of fluid right now with Eric's obviously resting for most of the preseason.
Yeah.
You got, you know, Steven out with the concussion. Just how do you see that?
Yeah, so I look at it a little bit like what I was saying with quarterback. I look at that we're able to play a lot of guys in there, which we're doing. We're rolling a lot of people in. And we're just trying to find what we can kind of get away with on the defense side. You see who we've got and what they do best. And some of these are new faces, so that we're putting them in the right position. Like I said, we're pretty vanilla right now. But you get an idea. You want to find out what you've got and how to use them and what their strengths are. Try to play to their strengths.
David Amerson right now, I mean, this is two games where he's given up quite a bit of plays.
Yeah, so I'm, I'm not, but you got to tighten it up a little bit. You know, so I mean, you got to do better than what we did today. And he's a willing worker, so he'll get back and do that. I've seen him, you know, do better, and he's just got to pick that up a little bit. Again, he's one of the new guys that the more he plays and sees these things. What he can kind of get away with, where else can play man cover? That's where he's getting in trouble there. So he's got to learn the angles and the routes and all that teams are using. So this is all valuable for him.
Andy, the penalty call on passing you, yeah. Was that the right call?
Yeah. So listen, I think the officials are feeling this thing out like everybody else is. I think it will all go back and kind of look at it and just see, you know. I mean, I was emotional when it happened, but I want to see the replay too and see what it looks like. And Cleet's a good official, so I mean, and an experienced official. So, but you know, I see it and he'll look at it and figure it out here. Kind of like what I'm saying about, you know, the other positions on our team. So, same deal.
Andy, do you feel like there was any impact mentally on your defense when you go out there and obviously not facing the first team, you know, for the most extended period of time?
Yeah, listen, human nature might be that, but you got to fight that. You know, I've seen Chase, and you all have seen this. So, I mean, San Diego had a chance to go to the playoffs if they beat us, and Chase goes out and plays like this right here. So you got to, you know, you can't let your guard down at all. You got to continue to challenge. You got to tackle. Those are things I was looking for that I didn't see. We got to do better on that. Our tackling wasn't good. I go back on the offense side, same thing there. Our blocking wasn't good enough, right, in the run game. So they were throwing a few different looks at us. But that'll help us during the season. They're in a little bit of full season mode here as they go on offense and defense. And so it was great work for us here. But we got to do a better job blocking. That's what we have to do. You want to be able to run the football, and you want to be able to throw the football and do it equally as well.
Glenn, and then last two for BJ. One final, what you thought of just seeing Spencer Ware back out there in full games?
Yeah. So there were some good things. I mentioned the quarterback that making progress, and then Spencer was a positive. DeAnthony being out there was a positive. Our linebackers being back out there now. So, I mean, these are all positive things. But Spencer, I thought, ran hard. I thought he caught the ball pretty well. He had the one on the sideline with his off his fingertips just a little bit. But when he had opportunities, he did a good job. So it's good to have him back. And, again, these are knock-the-rust-off days right here for a couple of those different positions. But it was good work. We were able to get in and out of halftime and get that third quarter started, and we put ourselves in a position to score penalties again, being a problem. So, you know, can't take ourselves out of that opportunity there.
Last two,
Coach, you've been asked a lot about the competition of wide receivers for Marcus Kemp to come out of 4 days on special teams and to make the play you did. Just what do you see from his development, what he's able to do today?
Say it again.
Marcus Kemp?
Yes. Marcus, I thought, did a very nice job on that. So he's a strong kid and reliable receiver. For him to do that was very good. And that was a good drive. I mean, listen, it was a good drive by Chase. He had a couple of nice throws there that you know, took us down there and scored a touchdown.
Last one. And then another young guy on the defensive line, Justin Hamilton, the guy hasn't been talked to on the outside a lot about. Seems like he's in the backfield a lot. What have you seen from him as another young guy second year player?
Yeah, he did a nice job. He kind of tweaked his ankle there in the first quarter, and then he worked through that and got himself back out there and did a good job with the rest of his play time.
Well, just real quick on Matt. He has done a lot of right things here. He's done a lot of good things as far as preparing the team, installing the offense, being a head coach. It's a little different being a good coach on Sunday. It's almost like an X factor when you're a rookie. Well, what do you see in him that tells you he'll be that? From your own experience, what is the big challenge from being like a position coach or somewhat a coordinator to becoming the guy on Sunday?
Yeah, so he won't have a problem with that. He'll come out and he'll do a great job. Dealing with you guys, that might be different. I mean, that's all part of it, right? That's all part of it. You got to face it, win or lose. You got to face it, and that's probably the biggest difference for him. And then making sure the defense and the special teams are managed from afar. But I don't think you have to worry about that. He'll do a good job for you, and he's wired for this. You know, he's a Central PA guy, and they're kind of wired like Chicago people, so he'll fit right in. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid, after the third exhibition game of the season against the Bears on Saturday. For a second, I thought he actually cursed at the end there. He was talking about Matt Nagy, and he said he was talking about, yeah, he'll do a good job, including, you know, working with you guys in the media. That's part of the job. You know, win or lose, you have to face it. But he ran the words together, and for a second I thought, uh-oh. Andy Reid said something. So pretty vanilla comments there, pretty much like the on-field product we've seen the first three exhibition games, exhibition game number four. If the third game is the dress rehearsal, the fourth game is merely facilitating the schedule and selling tickets and beers and hot dogs and parking and all that. That's all game number four is. There's no point in game four. There's no point in game four. Players and coaches will tell you, most players and coaches will tell you, two games. We can get ready in two games. I think after what we saw yesterday, three games maybe, but the fourth game, come on. It's a cash grab. It's a scam. It's a scam. They ask you to pay high prices for tickets, and then they don't put anything on the field that's worth watching. It's a scam. They want TV sets. They want eyeballs. Yeah. We're not going to see anything next week. If you want to take a game off, maybe you already do, take off next week. You're not going to learn anything in that game against the Packers. What, who's going to be the third string this or the backup that? Maybe a handful of guys are still battling for a spot on special teams so that they can slide in somewhere else. As Matt Derrick said in the last hour, Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com, wide receiver, they might take one more than you'd expect. An inside linebacker, they might keep one more than you'd expect. There's not much. Game four, blech. Yuck. So I was listening to those comments for the most part, and like I said, there's not much there. And this game Saturday in Chicago, there wasn't much there. And somebody did tweet at me, don't go over the edge. It's just an exhibition game. And he's right. He's right. But man alive, can we show some life? Can you run something that's worth watching? Does everything have to be so vanilla? Ah, week one, coming out. It's a surprise. Andy Reid's very good in, what, the first 4 weeks of the season?
They had a Tyreek Hill reverse end around, Brad.
Yeah.
Spice things up. On the Kareem Hill pass, you know, reception, they had nine different guys crossing across the middle, which left Kareem Hunt so open. A lot of stuff to see, Brad.
End arounds and jet sweeps I get, but I contended for years when I was doing the TV show, the Chiefs postgame show, Dana Hughes was on, Richard Baldinger was on, and I will say this, when I become commissioner of the National Football League, you know, you can make all these rules about safety and tackling and lowering the head and all that, I'm going to ban the reverse in pro football.
Why?
It's the worst play in the NFL.
What are you talking about?
It takes so long to develop, and you usually lose yards or maybe gain one. It hardly ever works.
What about with Tyreek Hill?
Nah, nope.
He gained 29 yards yesterday.
End around or jet sweep. End around or jet sweep is fine, but a reverse, no.
Whatever.
It's designed to keep the defense off balance or maybe keep them honest, but nobody ever calls a reverse expecting a big play, unless maybe you have a Tyreek Hill or even DeAnthony Thomas. I don't do it.
No. I've seen enough of DeAnthony Thomas on a bubble screen to know that he's not no. breaking it on a no. reverse.
He had a good game yesterday, if you're looking for bright spots.
He had a fine
spots.
Game.
That's why he's always going to be on this team.
Rudy and I were talking about that. Rudy Salazar.
We've been trying to cut him for 5 years, right?
I haven't. Whoa, speak for yourself. Okay. But yeah,
I meant we, the collective Chiefs.
The royal
nation.
We, like yes. The Big Lebowski.
Yes, the royal we.
Anyways, before I was so rudely interrupted with laughter, I was mentioning that Rudy and I were talking about that, and Rudy will have everything we need to know about Royals baseball coming up at noon right here on
That's
Sports
right.
Radio 810 WHB.
Baseball tonight.
Boulevard baseball tonight. Gotta love those sponsorships.
There you go. A few pops in the studio? Or
pound a few beers if you're actually going to watch that game.
Yeah. Now, they got a chance for a sweep.
Break out the brooms.
First place Cleveland comes to town. They ain't backing down from Cleveland. They ain't scared. Ryan O'Hearn walked up to Mount Olympus. Mount Olympus flinched.
Oh gosh, Brad, your dad humor, man. Do your kids like get embarrassed when they have kids spend
the
night?
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
I could see that.
I had to drive home a carload of kids from the Rockhurst football game the other night. I didn't go because it was the freshmen, their first game, and they get to hang out. And
I gotta check out the St. Teresa's girls.
And Scion.
Oh, yeah, and Scion.
Actually, we used to joke about this at Rockhurst because everybody, well, you guys all date girls from St. Teresa's and Scion. I was like, actually, you guys date girls from all kinds of schools. I dated girls from Northtown, Park Hill, St. Teresa's. It's not just two schools. But, yeah, I had to drive home a carload of kids after the game. It was their first high school football game as high school students. And I asked a couple of questions in the car. Did you guys have fun?
Yeah.
What'd you guys do?
Nothing.
Couldn't get it. And finally, I was just like, okay, I'm getting nothing out of this crew.
I was going to say, at that point, did your son say, Dad,
no,
shut
No, but I'm sure
up.
He was staring daggers in the
you
back of my
head. You were embarrassing me by saying, hey, how was the game?
Yeah, he was staring daggers at me, I'm pretty sure. Don't need to. Dad, we don't need your input here. We just get just get us home without embarrassing me, and then we'll talk later.
They'll appreciate you at some point.
Yeah, they will when they're 50.
Nah, like 18, 19 is the sweet spot. You really understand.
Before they go to college.
Your parents are kind of cool, and then I don't know, I think you actually become friends with your parents after that. But that's a discussion for a different day. We need to go to break.
All right, we'll do that. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, Allie Trost, who's been on a few times now officially qualifies as a friend of the program. She writes soccer for the Blue Testament. Good stuff on Sporting KC, who has won every game in the month of August. 4 straight wins, all shutouts, and they're 1 point out of first place in the Western Conference. Allie Trost from the Blue Testament is next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm just waiting for the song to build a little bit.
Get the momentum going.
Sounds like they're beating on an upside-down bucket in the opening, but I like the bass line.
You're not a Childish Gambino fan, Brad?
That one video, man. Wow.
This is America?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
That is thought-provoking, to say the least.
Donald Glover, he's a smart man.
He's a good actor. He's a great actor, too.
He's a good comedian.
Good Lord.
He's a good rapper.
He's what, the triple threat, quadruple threat? He can be the... the GOAT, or whatever. There's a word for if you win a Grammy, an Emmy, an Oscar.
EGOT.
Okay, there you go. You win them all, and you win one of the Broadway awards. What are they called?
Tonys.
Tonys, thank you. I just, as you can tell, I'm a big Broadway
Jed,
fan.
With all the knowledge.
Yeah.
Obscure knowledge. That's definitely my forte.
And this is Sports Sunday Facts.
Yes. By the way, who does the voiceover for the intros? Because that guy's got... the voice that I would like to have someday when I grow up.
I think his name's Jim Cutler or something like that. He does all the voiceover work for ESPN too, or ESPN also, all the ESPN radio stuff. Okay. So you hear his voice on a lot.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Brad Porter. I wish, when I grow up someday, I hope my voice sounds like that. That's okay. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. Live in the Rally House Studios, Allie Trost from the Blue Testament joins us once again, officially a friend of the program now.
Officially. Happy to be here.
And it seems like, well, I think when you first started coming on, the Sporting KC was in the middle of that horrible stretch.
They were.
With like 6 games without a win and a couple of draws, and we're like, oh, there are a bunch of injuries and the season's going south, and we're on a good run. 4 wins in August and all shutouts, man. That's, you talk about clicking at the right time.
Yeah, talk about turning things around. I mean, this stretch has been so important for this team, and I think something that's so cool is to see, you know, guys like Diego Rubio kind of really come into their own,
right,
and really own the moment, which has been really fun to watch. I mean, he, you know, I kind of thought after 3 very strong games like he's had before last night against Minnesota, I'm like, there's no way he comes out and scores again. There's no way. And then he comes out, and, you know, lo and behold, he's doing what that that number nine has been needing to do for Sporting Kansas City for so long now. And it's kind of ironic, though. You know, they bring in this new number nine. They bring in Christian Namath.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Diego Rubio's like, uh-uh. Hold on.
I'm going to keep scoring here.
I'm going to keep scoring. I'm going to turn up the heat. And so it's been great to watch. And, you know, just giving Sporting that chance that they really need. You know, last night, his goal, very crucial, putting them up 2-0 against a team like Minnesota who was pressing very hard, especially in that first half, although obviously the first half kind of ended 0-0.
Yeah. It was kind of a stinker of a half.
It was kind of so boring.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't exciting, but the sub in of Johan Kraaze for
brilliant
for Felipe.
Brilliant.
It was great. I mean, it was one so necessary. Two, he comes in and just brings an energy that the team really needed, I think, going into that second. And you could just tell, for all the criticism he received early on in the season, he has such great chemistry now with so many of these players on the team. And he brought something special. I don't know what it was, but he looked great.
That's a good point. And Kwaze comes in at halftime, 74 seconds in, scores the goal. You bring up a great point. He's been criticized all year, and fairly so. He makes a lot of money.
Yep.
He's, you know, played in top leagues in Europe and wasn't performing that great, so fair criticism. But now he's performing. When he comes into the game, he's full of energy, full of life. And believe me, I have covered players who come from bigger leagues, either Europe or Central and South America or Mexico, where if things aren't going their way, they get sour real quick. They start getting defensive and antsy, and then they want out.
Right.
As soccer guys do on occasion. I want out.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here. We've seen that before. I'm trying to remember, there was a player several years ago who came from the Arsenal system, and it sucked for him. He didn't fit in.
Yeah.
It wasn't his fault, but he was like, I'm out. And so Kwaze has taken it and accepted his role, comes in, and a burst of energy, and they had to get that goal because Minnesota was getting ideas that, well, maybe we're going to hang with these guys. Normally, we play terrible on the road, but maybe we get out of here with a point.
No, and that's something, too. I mean, you know, they always say a 2-0 lead in soccer is the most dangerous.
It's the worst.
But last night, for some reason, it gave them enough leverage in between themselves and Minnesota. But going back to what you were saying about Kwaze, his mentality has been one of my favorite things about him as a player. And, you know, coming in, like you said, a player coming in from overseas, you don't really know what you're going to get most of the time. If it's not a good fit for them, they could want out. The way that they react to criticism, things like that. If they're already, you know, trying to adjust to the city and then they're trying to adjust to all this new criticism as well, they could just be like, I'm out of here. But, something that I've really appreciated watching him is, one, watching him really overcome those kind of growing pains he experienced early on in the season, and now being a crucial part of this team. And I think the fans are really starting to see that too, which is really, which has been really special to watch, because I'm really happy for him as a player and as a person. He's a good guy. I've talked to him after plenty of games at practice and things like that, and he really wants to make an impact on this team. And obviously, last night he showed that he can do that. So
you mentioned Diego Rubio, and he's a great story because he was the super sub at the beginning. He had four goals early on that were all as subs. Then became a starter, scored four more, scored again last night. And you mentioned they signed Christian Namath, and he might be thinking, what the heck? I'm playing well, you're bringing in this guy.
Yeah.
But Peter Vermes' philosophy over the years, especially since the academy has been developing players, is we're going to push guys. Nobody should be comfortable out there. And Diego Rubio, hey, great, you scored eight goals. Don't get comfortable.
Yeah.
Because if you do, we got a guy over here that's going to take your spot. And he's answered the bell.
Right. Well, and something, too, that's been so interesting is, obviously, Sporting Kansas City is a team that has a lot of depth all over the field.
Right.
Whether it be, you know, defense, midfield, forward. But the offensive line, especially, has so much depth right now. Mm-hmm. Of any position on the field, they have Namath, Russell, Fernandez, Shallowy, you know, all these guys who aren't just like good players who can come, but they all can play together. Like, that's the thing. It's not like there's one line that works better than the others. They all come out and they do something really great every single time that they're on the field, no matter who's out there. So the thing that has been so cool to watch too this season is that in-team competition. And I love that Peter Vermes is, you know, that's kind of his standard throughout the season. He's like, hey, like you said, don't get comfortable. And it's kind of interesting. I know Shallowy just got the call up to the Hungarian national team.
Right. Is he going to miss games for that, by the way?
I haven't
I haven't seen how the schedule breaks out.
I haven't seen the schedule. Okay. I would imagine so, just because I think that they have a pretty, they play like throughout September. So
okay.
If he's going to be, and like the travel is insane.
Okay. Yeah, so, absolutely.
So I would imagine he, and you know, last night he sat out. He was on the bench. So I don't know if that has more to do with the call up or if just Peter being like, hey, I'm just going to sit you out a little bit and see what that does next weekend, maybe light a little fire.
Right.
So.
Right.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah. But back to Diego Rubio. Yeah, it's the competition and it's every day at practice. And it's supposed to be, if you go to a Peter Vermes practice, it's not fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a barrel of laughs out there.
Yeah.
It's physical, it's hard, and guys get after it. I mean, they'll hug and shake hands afterwards, but I mean, it's brutal during practice.
Yeah. Well, and I talked to Ike Opara last night after the game, and Ike had nothing but great things to say about Diego Rubio.
Right.
And I think Diego, of every player on that team who's kind of been pressed for their position, he's had to experience it the most. He was leading goal scorer last season, and then he comes into this new situation this season, and he's like, what the hell? he loses his start. He loses his starting role before the season really even gets up and going. So he's, of any player, had to really fight back against adversity in terms of like that playing situation and, you know, minutes on the field. And he's really shown that he can capitalize on those moments. Even when he, you know, coming in like that super sub that we just talked about, he was still coming in and he was making a really crucial difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he's done a phenomenal job of showing in recent games now. It's like, hey, yeah, I can come in with 10 seconds left in an extra time and I can score a goal and put the team ahead. And I can start and play for 45, 60 minutes and do the same thing. So I think it's been really cool to watch him really take that that super sub role that he was almost being like siloed into. He was being so put in this category, and he was like, no, that's not me. He's like, I want to be on the field for as many minutes as I can. And not only do I want to be on the field, he's like, I want to be on the field and I want to be scoring goals. So it's been awesome to watch.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're speaking with Allie Trost, who writes soccer for the Blue Testament, great website with Thad and all those guys over there, all the good stuff. I'm going to get to Seth Sinovic in a minute because Sam McDowell wrote a great piece in the Kansas City Star this week. I'm going to get to that in a second, but I'll talk broader defense right now. Okay, so 4 wins in the month of August, perfect month, all shutouts, and according to the numbers, that is the first time in franchise history they've had 4 consecutive shutouts. And I'm stunned by that because Sporting over the years, even going back to the Wizards days, always had great defenders.
Yeah.
And great goalkeepers, going back to, you know, Tony Meola and Kevin Hartman and Jimmy Nielsen and now Tim Melia, who came out of nowhere. He was on the MLS rotation. He wasn't even with a team. But 4 consecutive shutouts, never been done before. And this was after that bad stretch where they were giving up 3 and 4 goals a game.
Right.
With the injuries, they had injuries, but now they're back together, and that's an amazing stretch. You talk about a playoff?
Yeah.
What you need in the playoffs, you get shutouts, you don't lose.
No, the form that this team has been in over the last 4 games, that's what you want to see out of the team that you root for going into a playoff situation. But kind of going off what you said, though, it wasn't like that they were just giving up goals. Peter Vermes and Ike and those guys said that they were giving up soft goals. And last night, talking to Ike, you know, we talked about August. It's been such a strong month for Sporting Kansas City, not just for players like Diego Rubio, but for the team as a whole, obviously, you know, 4 straight shutouts, 4 straight wins. And he described the month of July as a learning lesson.
Right.
And so we talked about, you know, what
a tough one, too.
A tough one. And you know, some of those lessons were not just coming from the fact that they were on a winless stretch, but also all the injuries. I mean, guys weren't in the form that they're typically in. And now the team is almost back at full strength. You know, sadly, Jimmy Madranda, he's going to be out.
I
even
know.
Through,
God, I feel bad. He's such a nice kid,
he's
too.
He's such a nice guy. And you could tell the players were really affected by that absence as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, knock on wood. I'm knocking on wood right now.
Right.
He's the only kind of lingering long-term-ish injury.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Shelton's
Soon.
He should be coming back in the next couple weeks, is what we've kind of been told. And between that, Brad Evans is even on the list of guys.
I still forget Brad Evans is here.
It's
like, God, he's one of the biggest names in MLS history for defenders.
Yeah, and it, that's something I've been meaning to talk to Peter about, because I imagine with a guy like Brad, who he hasn't seen a minute on the field with Sporting. He's played in some USL Swope Park Ranger games to try to, you know, get his fitness up. But I would imagine that he brings a lot of experience to the locker room, you know, kind of in addition to guys like Matt Beasley or Graham Zusi, who kind of bring that that leadership. So I would imagine that he does a good job with that, especially with those Swope Park Ranger guys. I know that he's formed really great relationships with a lot of those players, so trying to, you know, help kind of get them adjusted to this crazy world of MLS soccer.
Do you think he gets on the field for a couple of minutes next weekend in Seattle against his old team?
You know,
maybe just 88 minutes.
And that's what he's been waiting for. That's,
yeah, I know.
They've been prepping him for this grand appearance against his old team. I don't know. You know, I feel like he would absolutely want to travel with the team and go back and try to get on the field against them. But I don't know. Knowing Peter Vermees, I don't.
He's
see
not
going
to sacrifice
like, hey,
anything to make somebody feel good. I know, you know that.
Brad, I know this is your old team. How about you go out there and take the start?
Well, we talked about defense, and Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star, wrote a great piece this week on Sesanovic. And personally, I'm biased on two fronts. I'm biased for our Kansas City guys, Matt Beasler. And Sesanovic and all the guys that have played here before. But Seth is also a Rockers High School guy. So he's one of my guys.
Yeah.
So the point of the article was MLS has been trying to get rid of him since he was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
He was drafted, I believe, by New England. I think he played a little bit his first season. Then the next season he was cut.
Yep.
Wanted to play for somebody else. At that time, Sporting wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. I think Kurt Anolfo might have been the coach at the time, and this team was a... It was a disaster. Let's be honest about it. It's a disaster. It was. And so he agreed, okay, I'll go back to Sporting. The record when he starts in a game or plays in a game versus when he doesn't is remarkable.
Yeah.
And I think Sam texted out this morning, this season, Sporting is 7-1-2 when Sesanovic starts. Look, I'm not saying he's the greatest player in the world. He's not the greatest left back in the world. But Sporting and the league has been trying to replace him for 11, 12 years now, 13 years, and he keeps playing.
Yeah.
And he keeps finding a way. You talk about guys that fight. Sesanovic has fought his entire career.
Yeah.
And he keeps playing solid soccer.
No, reading that article, it really shed, you know, for me, which, again, a great piece by Sam McDowell. Mm-hmm. He does excellent work covering the team for the KC Star. But that article really, I think it resonates with a lot of people because you know, you see some of these big names get drafted and you think that MLS soccer is all about those leading goal scorers who are breaking records left and right. But it's really when you have a program and when you have a team and a club that's dedicated to a certain type of mentality and mindset, just like Peter Vermees kind of fosters here at Sporting Kansas City, of like a hard work ethic. You know, Graham Zusi is the same way. The guy was a second round, 23rd pick overall.
He didn't play for like 2 years.
Exactly. And, you know, now it's like not just being like, you know, you're, we're going to cut you. But they really take their time to foster this strong chemistry. And Sesanovic and Matt Beasler, the chemistry that the two of them have together is very evident when they're on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Sesanovic, something that he brings to the defensive line is he brings this very... It's almost like a comfort. It's like a comfort for the back line. He's a solid defender. It's, you know, maybe it's a safer choice, but it's the, you know, with the offense playing the way that they are, it's the right choice having a guy like him out there, who's gonna work his butt off.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to stay in great form. He's going to help keep those soft goals from happening, like we've talked about. So seeing a guy like him, who, like you said, the league's been trying to replace him for how many years now?
Since day one.
And
hey, we drafted Sesanovic. Can we find somebody else?
Yeah. And I think the work that he's had to put in throughout his career translates over onto the field. The guy is one of the hardest working players, in my opinion, that you see. I mean, honestly, when those guys walk off the field at the end of a game, he looks the most beat after
he's exhausted.
He's exhausted because he truly, I mean, they all work very hard.
Right.
That's not to discredit any single player on the field, but he works hard. He worked hard to get to where he is now, and that shows in the work that he puts in on the field.
Allie doesn't know this, but we have a ghost in the studio. The door over here to the patio just creaked open. There is a ghost. There's a ghost that inhabits the Union Broadcasting Building, just so you know.
Let's get the ghost's opinion on Sesanovic.
I don't know why somebody decided that's how ghosts talk, but somebody did at some point years ago, I guess. We're speaking with Alex Rose from the Blue Testament about Sporting KC. You never know where the conversation is going to go.
You never know.
It just goes. One final point on Sestanovic. He had talked about his college days, too. He only had one Division I offer. It was from Evansville, and he said him and his brother went around the country talking to coaches. Can we play? Can I play? Mm-hmm. No, you can't play. He said, I'm going to walk on at Creighton.
Yeah.
And I think he got a scholarship on his second season, became an All-American. And whatever he does after soccer, whether he stays in soccer, in the coaching, or running a youth system, or goes into business, he's going to be awesome. And his sister, Emily, is on Channel 5. They're going to run this town. The Sestanovics are going to run Kansas City.
Yeah, I think after that article went out, she quoted it on Twitter and said, proud sister. and rightfully so. It's just, like you said, no matter what he does after this, someone who goes cross-country with their sibling to seek out an offer. And,
not get one.
And then walk on the team and make such an impression, make such an impact that they have no other option but to give you a scholarship after your second season to keep you around. I mean, every person can take a life lesson from Sestanovic.
Right.
And just, like, that work ethic that goes into, achieving the goals that you have set for yourself and kind of chasing after a dream that, so many young kids have of playing professional soccer, playing not even as professional, but college soccer at that.
Right.
So that was really cool. And I think he has a very unique situation. Most players who end up playing in the MLS have been sought after since they were like 8 years old.
Right.
You see a lot of those stories. So I think it's really cool to see a guy like Seth kind of show how different the path can kind of be to the big leagues.
Well, he was on a youth team with Matt Beisler all the time growing up. Matt was the star. He went to Notre Dame. He was a forward. And then he was a forward in high school at Blue Valley West. Then he was a midfielder, kept working his way back. That's the way it works in soccer.
You
work your way back. Peter Vermes was a striker on the U.S. national team and became a defender of the year in MLS. So back to the team. Now, 1 point out of first place.
Yep.
FC Dallas. Houston did us a favor by getting a 1-1 draw against FC Dallas. Houston's just...
You love them, but you hate them.
I hate every game that I have to watch them play because they're just, I don't want to call them dirty, but.
No, they're dirty.
Okay.
They're
call them dirty. Houston, you're a dirty.
You're
a dirty soccer
game.
Team. That was brutal. That was awful.
I don't even know what we were watching.
No. It was not soccer.
It wasn't soccer.
Like rugby soccer or something.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say, it was like rugby. And I'm also very defensive of Gianluca Busio.
Yeah.
Don't give that kid whiplash so early into the game.
They tried.
Come on.
So now 1 point out of first place with FC Dallas. Spots to get the first round bye in the playoffs because we know Sporting, recent history, does not perform well if they have to go on the road in that first round. So this is huge. Now you got to go to the Pacific Northwest and play the one team in the league that's hotter.
Yeah.
And Seattle's what? They've won six in a row?
Yes.
Not just six in a row unbeaten. They won.
One.
And they were bad at the beginning of the season.
I know, and that's something that's always, a cause for worry at this point in the season when a team gets hot like that. And, did you see that game against LA Galaxy where they won? I think it was 5-0. It was 5-0.
Galaxy quit. But Seattle was like, okay, we'll just keep scoring. You don't want to play?
Here we go.
Here's five goals for you.
But it's always kind of worrisome to see, a team get so hot like that towards the end of the season. And I think it's going to be a big test for Sporting Kansas City to see if this hot streak that they're on is really as hot as we think it is. To not just be riding for a four-game win streak and four-game shutout streak, but can they take that same momentum on the road, which I think is going to be a huge test to where they're at right now. But something that, from my perspective, though, as much criticism as they received over the month of July for all – The lessons learned, as Ike Opara says, the learning lesson month for them. Wouldn't you rather have your team go through that midway through the season,
sure,
and then come out of it, hopefully, what looks like at this point stronger going into to that playoff run?
Right,
so,
stronger and healthier.
Most importantly, healthier with a nice kind of learning lesson period where they can really kind of take that period. And I feel like, when things like that happen for a team, this will be this last month that they experience. It's going to be something that I guarantee you come October, they're going to, whether it's in the locker room at halftime and they're, down 1-0, it's going to be like, hey, do you guys remember in July?
Right.
It's going to be something I feel like that they're going to have to touch back on.
Circle back. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. You want to stay to the top of the hour?
Yeah.
It'll be about 5 minutes left when we come back, 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We're visiting with Allie Trost from the Blue Testament. Follow her on Twitter at Trost Allie, TROSTALY.
Yes.
And covers other sports as well. We talk soccer with her, so give her a follow. Take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here, live in the Riley House studios. Back with more after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Talking about during the break about my dislike for Ed Sheeran.
But not because of Ed Sheeran himself.
No. If you watch any TV show, I think the Chiefs game yesterday had 500 commercials for...
Okay, so I have to sit back here and play the commercials. Do you know how many damn times I've heard that commercial? It's
at least
literally
thousand.
The worst.
Well, here's the thing. When you run a lot of commercials, it tells me two things for a musician or a band. It tells me two things. One, you ain't selling tickets.
Yep.
Enough tickets. Number two, when you put on that label, stadium tour, that tells me that the promoter is confident they could sell out a regular arena. Not sure about a stadium quite yet, but we're going to give it a whirl.
It's a bit of a stretch, but
I can't
see
55,000 people at Arrowhead for Ed Sheeran. Maybe I'm missing something. I went to Kenny Chesney, and
yeah,
that was packed.
Yeah, Kenny Chesney was awesome.
That was
great. But also, Kenny Chesney at Arrowhead Pride is kind of it's like a tradition.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran at Arrowhead Pride, not so much.
Right.
He's a guy who could, I picture him more at like a Green Lady Lounge, playing a nice little,
yes.
A nice little set.
Rudy Salazar, again, who's going to have baseball tonight coming up at noon, points out that Ed Sheeran is a much bigger star than Kenny Chesney. I don't really like either of these people, so it doesn't mean anything to me.
I read a hilarious tweet last
Rudy
night.
Rudy then chimes in, they both suck, which is kind of the camp I'm in.
Kenny Chesney puts on a great show. It's a beach party for 3.5-4 hours. It's
yeah.
Like, or with all his opening acts, it's like 6 hours.
Right.
I didn't go to the first two acts, but I read a funny tweet last night, and this is totally off the subject, but somebody tweeted out, somebody who likes country music at a party. Yeah, I like country music, but I know it's not everybody's thing. If you don't want to play it or you want to play something else, that's fine. Versus somebody who hates country music. If you put on country music, I swear to God, I will jump out a window or whatever.
Yeah,
and that's the way it is.
I saw that, and it's so true. It's like people who are opposed to country music must make it a point every time. Like there's a situation where country music's either being talked about, it's being played, it's like, oh, I cannot stand.
Jed Marshall over there is not a fan of the...
Nope. I will leave a
place. Jed, do you do that at parties?
Yeah, I leave. Or go to another... Fortunately, I'm a cigarette smoker, so I always have an excuse to go outside. But yeah, if they're playing garbage music and it's like... especially when people really get like ham-skied and start singing along. Like if it's Garth Brooks, Friends of No Places, I actually will go home and I'm like, dude... I've
seen Garth
to read
twice
at home.
In concert,
I'm good.
But when he plays that song, I'm like, oh, God.
Okay. Here we go again.
Here we go. Because the Royals used to play it
every
game. And it was like, oh, come on. Does that really have to be? And I like Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
But does that have to be our song?
I think Garth Brooks was my first concert. I mean, mind you, I was like literally 6 years old. So I don't know if I even could like call it that because I was so young.
Right.
But I remember I went with my dad and
I think
his friend.
My first concert, my mom took us to Kenny Rogers.
Uh-huh.
And one of the opening acts was the Righteous Brothers. You've Lost That Love and Feeling. I was like, I knew who Kenny Rogers was. I didn't know who they were, but it was a good show.
Yeah. No, I mean, everyone remembers their first concert.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the one I remember the most as my first concert was Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, boy.
So we want to talk
she's
about.
She's actually pretty good.
She's good.
I mean, I'm not a fan of hers, but she's pretty good.
She's good. She was on The Voice. I'm a big Voice fan.
Yeah.
Like, a big Voice fan.
Yeah.
Like, I watch The Voice religiously when it's in season. It's kind of my guilty pleasure. Some people like The Bachelor. Some people like Real Housewives. I like The Voice.
All right. I got about a minute, less than a minute and a half here. So we're speaking with Allie Trost from the Blue Testament. Sporting KC at Seattle next week. Prediction. Maybe not a score, but what you expect to see.
You know, I think we're going to see some good things from Christian Namath. I see... you know, seeing him come in the last two games, he wants to score. And you can tell he brings a really good energy and he does all these great things that Peter already has talked about when he was acquired by the team a couple weeks ago. He's going to do some really good stuff. I think we're going to see a lot from Christian Namath. You know, I predict that Christian Namath's first goal of this season is going to be next weekend. Yeah, please.
Namath, first goal, Ali Trost. First goal. Okay, I got it written down. We'll see if it turns out.
But I don't think it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
Probably
a draw. I think it'll be a draw, or it'll be a 1-0, 2-0 win on either side. So. Okay.
Allie, thank you so much for coming in again, officially a friend of the program. Follow her on Twitter, at Trost Allie, TrostAly. Have fun.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back for hour number three. In hour number three, Barton Simmons from CBSSports.com will join us and talk college football. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here live in the Rally House Studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.